Greetings, everybody worshiping in Woodside. Those watching online, glad we can be together. Wasn't that a great pictorial of all of our graduating students? 93 seniors that are there. Just really well done. I want to invite you to take out your teaching notes as we continue this series called Life Cycles. You can download them online if you're watching live stream as well. The focus on this series has been all about hearing God's voice in the different life cycles that we find ourselves in from birth until death. And then especially how we respond to God's voice in each of those life cycles. With the elevated theme over these weeks as we're in the series called Life Cycles of offering ourselves anew to God in each life stage that we find ourselves. So the first message was on child offering. That was the name of it. We talked about child dedication, the point of infancy and offering that little life to God. Last week was mom offering. Today is student offering. And the last in the series, 4 weeks from now, will be death offering. Come, it's really going to be exciting. I have a message, by the way. Congratulations to the graduating class. I have a specific message for you, and lest the rest of you think you can just tune out, there's something here for you in it as well. But my language is going to be directed a lot to the graduating class, so you do some of the transferable application yourself. Before I do, just a couple of interesting facts about this graduating class from Westwood. It's been an important class for us in our journey, marked by a number of things, accomplishment. No doubt they have been marked by their courage in several expressions over the course of their journey, and as well by service. In fact, one received a full-ride academic scholarship. Mom and Dad, way to go. No one's happier than you in that deal. That's fantastic. We have a student who's going to be swimming competitively at the University of Minnesota. One who's going to be playing for Jerry Kill's football team. Excellent. Many other athletes that are going to be playing on universities all around the nation. We have a student who overcame a life-threatening illness. Courage. Some going into the military. We have a young gal who's pursuing missions as part of her life call. Very neat. This has been a group that has served, in fact, in an extraordinary way. They have served in life-transforming ways, giving leadership, particularly in our small group ministry to junior hires. They have led many of those small groups, and we have this massive junior high ministry, and have the benefit and the gifts of this group. This graduating seniors class has been amazing. And by the way, they have served you coffee from the Westwood Cafe all the time, so we have to replace them, because I know your coffee is still important to you, that you've really been a great class. In fact, your life cycle is a time to follow promise, the promise of things to come. And you're about to enter into a pretty intense arena in which you'll be answering the three fundamental questions of life. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? In fact, those questions will dominate much of your next decade ahead. It's here that you're going to pursue all kinds of new dreams, but also you are going to navigate disappointments unlike you've ever had to navigate them before. There's some wake-up calls in this part of this discovery chapter of your life. You will sort through ideas as well as lifestyle and value choices that will be with you for much of your journey ahead. And some of you right now feel like you know deep down in your bones what you are supposed to do with your life, and God bless you if you know. The vast majority of you are clueless. And that's part of the adventure. It's part of the mystery in trusting God for all things that come to you in your life. And this week, I laughed out loud when I got a call from a friend, not making it up, real good friend of mine called me up and kind of surprised me. He said, Joel, he says, you're not going to believe this, but I called a therapist today. He's my age, by the way. And I said, well, why did you call a therapist today? He said, I set an appointment because I need to figure out who I am and what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. And so these questions around the fundamental questions of life are not just for this life cycle. You will come back to them again and again in various kinds of ways. In every life cycle, we hold one thing in common, and that is we long for happiness. Oh, we just want to be happy. And the decisions you make will begin to open doors or close doors to that desire and longing for happiness. We may not agree on what brings the greatest happiness, but we all long to have it. My message today is inspired from the words of the wise man from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5, when he tells us declaratively and passionately and personally to get wisdom. It's Proverbs 4, 5, get wisdom. You can memorize that verse. Say it with me. Get wisdom. Proverbs 4:5. What a great call for you. Because then you will find a happiness that you long for. A happiness that is not just for an hour or a day or a week or a month or a year, but a happiness that is eternal, that begins to get lived out today in the here and the now, but can go on forever and ever. That's the kind of wisdom that God has in mind for you and longing for your life. Get wisdom. And I define wisdom quite simply as this, that wisdom is the happy gift from God. It's the happy gift from God that allows you to know who you are, where to go, what to do, how to do it, what to say, how to say it. So you can see it's one of God's practical, happy gifts that helps you with the way and the will of God for your life, how to step into it. It helps you know these big decisions that you'll make. Should I stay single or should I get married? Should we have children or not have children? It will teach you this wisdom from God, how to treat others in a way that brings happiness in your life. It will help you know how to love the unlovely, as well as how to know how to spend your financial resources and your talent and the time that God gives to you. Friends, get wisdom. That's my message for you from the proverb today. In fact, Proverbs 3:13 reinforces it. Blessed or happy is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. It's a promise. Or Proverbs 24:13 says, my son, eat honey for it is good, and the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future and your hope will not be cut off. Wisdom gives you hope. No matter what happens to you in life, you can have hope because of wisdom. Wisdom is what ushers you into a hope-filled future. It is the key to lasting happiness. And I love the picture that he writes here because it's the picture of honeycomb and honey. Most everybody in the room loves honey, and it drips, and you just taste a drip of honey and you want more. And so it is with wisdom. You taste a drip of wisdom and you go, that's good, and you want more. And that's the picture that we have. Also in Proverbs 19:8, he who gets wisdom loves himself. In other words, do yourself a favor. Get wisdom, you'll like yourself a whole lot better. And when you like yourself, you will have an easier time of liking others in your sphere of influence. If ever there's a crisis in our culture today, is the self-esteem movement. We just don't like ourselves. We compare ourselves and take ourselves down left and right. But wisdom helps you to celebrate who God made you to be. Like yourself. Forget self-esteem. Embrace Christ's esteem. It's a far better way to go. Give concerted efforts to become wiser tomorrow than you are today. So specifically, how do you get this wisdom? It's an incredible promise, don't you agree, that God gives to us? But how do you get this wisdom that gives you the happiness that satisfies the very longing of your soul? Well, I want to give you 6 clear ways that God speaks to us concerning wisdom, how you can have it, this happiness. And there are probably many more, but I'm going to focus just briefly on each of these 6. First, desire wisdom. That is, want it. Want it in your life. Have an appetite for it. That wisdom is the gift that God gives to anybody who wants it. And a lot of people don't have wisdom because they simply don't want it. They don't have an appetite for it. Want it. Because you're about to enter into a chapter where people will invite you to chase after a lot of things. And I want to encourage you as your pastor, chase after wisdom. In fact, there's a simple formula, and I guarantee you it will help you face so many of the options and the opportunities that are ahead for you. It came to me as I sat down to think, have you ever done this? If I could be 18 all over again, what wisdom would I want then that I now know today? Anybody have that flashback in that given moment? And this is the wisdom that I would want for myself at 18. It's twofold in its rhythm. Ground your conviction. Ask the question. Ground the conviction and ask the question. What's the conviction? Ground the conviction. The conviction is, I want wisdom. And I pray for graduating seniors, really everybody in the room, that when you leave the doors here today, that you just want that. You would say, I want wisdom in my life. That's the grounding conviction. And then ask the question, is this wise? When all these opportunities and options come to you, which, by the way, more opportunities and options will come to you than you can ever seize, and you're going to be making big decisions with all of them that come, to ask the question, is this wise? So ground the conviction, I want wisdom. Say those three words, I want wisdom. That's the conviction. Have it, want it, have an appetite. And then ask the question, is this wise? Do you notice my inflection? Is this wise? Because not everything that comes to you is good for you. And so you have to ask, is this wise? Is this wise? I'd like you to say those words with the same inflection that I'm using, by the way. Is this wise? You know, if you ground the conviction and ask the question, I guarantee you, you will have greater discernment on which path to take. Proverbs 4:8, speaking of wisdom, saying, prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. Wisdom used in the feminine pronoun here. And it's saying that when you embrace wisdom, you will be lifted up. And you think in a world where everybody seems to be pressing us down and to live under the bondage of that, to be lifted up, we want to be lifted up. Wisdom allows you to be lifted up. And it says here that you will be honored. To be lifted up and honored. God will use that in great ways in your life. It says, prize her highly and she will exalt you, wisdom. To prize something is to cherish it. It's to treasure it. It's a sign of intense, intense desire. That's what it means to prize something. And I think about that practically in my own life, this wisdom that I've wanted at key junctures. Like one of them for me was a great marriage. I wanted that. And it comes out of a history of family brokenness. My parents being divorced when I was 10 years of age. And in 1963, because that's when it would happen, I was the only kid in my class who came from a divorced home. It's a whole different stigma, whole different reality than what we have today. But one of the worst classes that I ever took in high school was my senior year before I graduated, a psychology class where the teacher, I could tell you his name, but I don't want to because we're to be wise in how we treat all people. But he was doing something that I felt like was a curse to me personally. The fact that I can remember it so clearly tells you. He was going through the statistical analysis that have converged in our country in the 1960s and then the 1970s. I graduated in high school in 1978 concerning infidelity and divorce and alcoholism and all these different things. So what he was doing was putting the statistical analysis and then making the observation that if for kids who've come from these kinds of homes, that the likelihood of them having the same experience is tenfold higher or whatever the crazy thing is. But I just remember sitting there thinking, here's a guy forecasting my life before I've left the doors to even discover what my life is all about. I suppose the moral of that story is don't let statistics define your life. That's a key part of it. But I had my own questions. For him, they were just statistics. I grew up in a broken home. I wanted a great marriage. But I didn't have role modeling. I didn't know what a great marriage looked like. And on the inside, I had questions. Could I be a good husband? Could I be a good dad? Is that even within me to know how to enter into that realm? And then I meet Carrie. And I want her. Oh, prize her highly and she will exalt you. I cherish her. I treasure her. And I wanted to be with her. Could I have a great marriage there? And because I want it so deeply, I court her with passion and earnestness. And I'm capturing her attention. And when I proposed to her, I'm telling you, it was dramatic. It was really good. Really good. It was way over the top, but it was really good. And I had flowers, roses, and a silk pillow, and a hope chest, and then I wrote a poem. I proposed to her in a poem, and I'd love to share it with you, but in all my 20 years, I've never shared with you one of my poems. I have a number of them, but they're just so bad, I don't want to even put them out there. To tell you how bad it is, although we framed it, you could see it in our home if you come. She didn't know I was proposing to her in the poem. That's not a good poem. So at the end of all that work, I had to ask the question, Carrie, will you marry me? To which she responded, yes, I'll marry you. And when she said yes to that question, I will tell you, I can hear her voice even now because it made me feel wanted, prized, treasured, and cherished. But I still didn't know if we could have a great marriage. I didn't know how. I really didn't. I needed help. I needed wisdom. And God gave that to me. And I give him all the credit for that. And this year we will be married 34 years, and it's been a great marriage. And I'm grateful to God for that. He gives wisdom to those who want it. But we have to want it. It begins there. It starts with an attitude, desire, wisdom. Second, look for it in the Bible. I just love the liberating truth that God made us to be eternally happy. And he gives us scripture that serves as a compass, as a guide to this happiness. I mean, there's so many sources out there to define what happiness is for you, but none better or greater than God himself revealed through his word, Psalm 16:11. In your right hand, O God, is the fullness of joy. You will never find satisfaction in the happiness that is the longing of your life without God in your life, especially through faith in Jesus Christ, the greatest gift he's given to us. And so we find in Psalm 19:7 these words, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." I love that. God makes the simple wise. The smartest person in the world is not necessarily the wisest person in the world. And the wisest person is the one we want to seek after, wisdom. It's the gift he gives to us. And I think it's one that causes us to want then, if we want this happiness, then to get wisdom means you have to open up the Bible. You have to read it. You have to meditate on it. You have to study it. Friends, as you do, the Bible is alive. And we live in a culture, we'll say it's antiquated, it's old, it has nothing to do with today, it has everything to do with today, and it's full of life if you can just step into the Word and begin to let your eyes see and let your ears hear what the God who created you wants for you in life. He will reveal it in fullness, in goodness, and in gladness. It's what he does. And you may be thinking, I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have interest to read the Bible. There's so many other options in the world. Why am I going to take time to read the Bible? And I get that because I was in that chapter for a small season of my life as well. And then I had a mentor come in and tell me how really doable it is. He said, most of us don't read very much. We don't aspire to reading because reading can feel daunting. Or we just have so many other things to do. We live in the world of options. In fact, I think that's what separates us as Christians from the Christians in Bangladesh, poorest country in the world, from Christians in this world, is we have options. And oftentimes we opt out of reading and we embrace all the other options and sometimes miss the greatest happiness at all. A couple of years ago, you can go online and check the happiness scale of every country in the world. Just Google the happiness scale, you'll see it. At that time, Bangladesh was the happiest country in the world. Poorest, but happiest. We, not so much. Because I think they know how to rely on the way of God. And so we find that reading the scripture can really be far more doable. This mentor told me these words, "Joel, you read about 250 words a minute. If you devote just 15 minutes a day to reading the scriptures, over the course of a year, you'll have read approximately 20 average size books." 15 minutes a day of reading God's word or stories of God and lives that have transformed the world through the power of God. I said, I can do that. And I did. And became an avid reader by setting aside 15 minutes a day, which grew into far more than the 15 minutes. Why read? Because, friends, you will not be the same person next year at this time if you read. Your mind will be stretched. Your heart will be enlarged. Your purpose, which all of us want to know, what's our purpose? Your purpose will get clearer and your passions will get ignited. You'll want life. You'll live life. It has that kind of impact in your life, in your journey. And above all, you'll have grown in wisdom. And it may not be long till someone says of you, the words of Proverbs 18:4, the words of his or her mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a rushing stream. Can you imagine somebody saying to you, that to you, those beautiful words? That your mouth is like rushing stream, full of wisdom. I liked it better than you did, apparently, but that's okay. It's okay. One of our graduating students is already figuring this out. It just builds my confidence for the future of this next generation through this graduating class. Bryn Erb is a senior at Minnetonka High School. She's the editor-in-chief of Breezes, which is the school news website at Minnetonka High School. She has been attending the En Route ministry here, our high school ministry, since she was a sophomore. She graduates and goes on to that little-known school called Carleton. She got it together, but I'm praying for wisdom as she's got it together. And the word of God has already been a compass for her, and I wanted her to share her story. So would you welcome Bryn as she shares this morning? Thanks, Bryn. Good to have you with us today.
I grew up knowing God, that he is real, that he is three in one, and that he does great things. But I also carried a thought that God was unreachable. In my mind, God sat behind closed doors, and he was unapproachable. But when my family started attending Westwood the summer before my sophomore year in high school, I was amazed when I learned that God knew me personally, loved me unconditionally, and wanted me with him regardless of my flaws. I got involved in Westwood's program for 10th through 12th graders called En Route, and on one particular Wednesday night gathering, I heard a message about how God is always with us. We just need to turn around and walk towards him. That night, I fully accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. From that point on, my journey has been filled with great highs and lows, but I walk through life knowing that God is with me. In the midst of those highs and lows, one of the most significant experiences of his presence in my life was on my trip to Germany last summer. I found myself sitting on a bus in the middle of that country, surrounded by people who spoke a language I hadn't studied, without Wi-Fi or hope of using data to at least pretend like I was doing something to pass the time. This sounds like a modern horror story for most teenagers. But for me, it was a moment in which I experienced a GP, or God prompting, as Pastor Joel likes to call them. As my June departure approached last summer, I was thrilled because I was going to be in Germany. Who wouldn't want to go there and experience a new culture, see historically significant places, and eat Nutella for breakfast every morning? While I am pretty independent and somewhat adventurous, confidence was something I lacked a lot at that point in my journey last year. In the months and weeks leading up to my departure for my exchange course in Germany, I was scared and anxious. I didn't fit into any of the groups of friends that had signed up for this course, so I wondered, who would talk to me? Would I be able to grow closer with my classmates and their partners? I prayed about my trip, asking God to give me confidence and wisdom and to show me the right thing to do in all of the situations I would be put into. So in June, there I found myself, sitting next to Larissa, a German exchange student, riding the equivalent of a megabus to an amusement park in Germany during the second week of our trip. I was gearing myself up for a day of riding roller coasters and hanging out with my classmates. As Larissa chattered away in German to her friends, singing along to the Pitch Perfect soundtrack that they adored, I looked at my phone. I marveled at how all of my apps were useless in Germany, or so I thought. Early in the year, at the suggestion of our pastor, Josh, I downloaded the ESV Bible app onto my phone. The Bible, it turns out, doesn't need Wi-Fi or data to provide truth to your life and connect you with God's word. No matter where I traveled, God's word was with me. That's awesome. I opened up the app and turned to Psalms. I started at the very beginning, reading God's word in peace on the bus, but stopped when I reached Psalm 3:3. In that moment, I realized that this was my life verse. It reads, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." This verse struck me because I realized how true it was for me. God was the lifter of my head and my glory. I had always been someone who said yes to things, but in this moment I realized that God had always been giving me those opportunities to say yes to. Positions in high school to pursue my love of writing, leadership in Boost Student Ministry, the invitation to join a classmates in route group, and of course, the opportunity to travel to Germany. All of these things were made possible through God, and I did each to the best of my ability, which I now saw was all to bring him glory. I realized that God had been lifting my head throughout my high school career, putting teachers, friends, and mentors in my place that helped me see my worth in him, increasing my confidence, and he had continued to do so on my trip to Germany. He revealed himself to me in the kindness of the other students on the trip who reached out to me throughout the week, and through my host family, who were so inclusive, kind, and understanding. God gave me the opportunity to learn about another culture and build new relationships, and for that, I am so thankful. As I look ahead to next year, I rest assured that God will continue to be my shield and the lifter of my head. The faith foundation I have built at Westwood and the relationships I formed in my small group at En Route will continue to give me confidence and allow me to spread God's love and light to the world.
Thank you. Great to have you. Isn't that fun? Does it give you just great confidence and to see already that grounding that's happening there? I didn't know Bryn's story until Pastor Josh sent over the first draft to be included in today's dedication. And I read through that first draft and I thought, this girl can write. I teach at Bethel University in the MBA program, and the greatest struggle we have with students is their capacity to write well. And I'd like to hire Bryn as a tutor to my MBA students at Bethel University, but more importantly, speak a word of blessing into your life. And we should do this with each other, with young people as they go into the future. Bryn, God gave you a gift to write, and he's going to use it for good. So blessings to you as you move forward, and thanks for sharing today. It's been great to have you with us. The third way we find this wisdom that leads to happiness is to serve the poor. In fact, one of the most powerful calls from God to help the poor come in the Hebrew scriptures of Proverbs 21. Whoever shuts their eyes to the cries of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. Whoa. That seems to say, pay attention to the poor in order to capture the eyes and the ears of God in your life. To ignore other people and make your life simply about yourself will make you feel alone, and you will question, God, where are you when you cry out to him? Pay attention to the cries of those who are around. In fact, Jesus himself declares to us in kind of these words that he comes to us through the poor. You might remember that powerful story where the people who are following Jesus around him, he says, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you came to visit me and welcomed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you visited me. And then they answered him and saying, Jesus, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or see you naked and clothe you, or see you sick and come to visit you? When did that happen? And he said those incredibly powerful, insightful words. As you have done it to the least of these, you have done it to me. Jesus comes to us through the poor. He manifests his presence and his promise to be with you. Serve the poor. And if I could add to that, especially for the graduating class, because you'll have an opportunity to travel, probably unlike any other time in your life, travel and live with the poor. Don't just serve the poor. Establish relationship with the poor. Then wisdom will flow in extra measure. Carrie and I experienced that firsthand in 1989 on a mission trip to Romania, a trip that we were leading with a number of others to serve the poor. I've been doing that as a mission pastor in my previous church for many years, traveled to many countries, knew what I was doing, little prepared for what was about to happen. As we flew into the capital of Romania and at midnight and drove 2 hours south, 2 o'clock in the morning, to find ourselves lost from the other car. We had two cars. And so we had the translator in the one car, so we know they needed to find us. So we parked our car in the middle of the road at 2 in the morning in the middle of a Giurgiu, this little town, waiting for them to arrive, when suddenly the light goes on in the home just ahead of where the road was. And a gentleman comes out to inquire, who are you and why are you in the middle of our street? And we ended up talking with them. Thankfully, we had the translator. We learned that they were a Christian family and a very, very poor family. And he invited, with the most gracious hospitality, us, as the other car eventually arrived, to join them in their home. They made tea for us. I mean, it's like 3 in the morning. There's 11 people living in the house. They're all out of bed. We're all in this little, little home, talking and then praying, and the sun comes up. We were exhausted. We needed to get to our hotel room. And as we were getting ready to leave, the host of the home, the mom and dad of that home, gave an invitation for Carrie and me to stay with them for that week. I am not proud of this chapter of my life in that moment because, you know, when you've been traveling, the thought of a hotel with a bed, comfort, really sounded good. They were poor, really poor. 11 people, I don't know where we would sleep. I knew there was one bed that I could see in the home. And it smelled. And I hate to tell you that I even thought that. But I did. I wanted to go to the hotel. And Carrie and I talked about it and said, you know, they've extended such hospitality. Let's stay here. Mom and Dad gave up the master bedroom and only bedroom to us. And they loved us and welcomed us. And we gained wisdom by being with these people. It's like everything in our marriage got calibrated in a new way. We were done having children. We had 3 children at that time. And as we left, we thought, should we reconsider our decision not to have any more children? We decided to pray about it and leave it to God and a few other things. And we had a 4th child. God's a gift. Little Blake would not be in our life if it wasn't for that trip. He's our miracle boy to that end. Wisdom. I say that because sometimes we feel good about serving the poor, but it's another thing to be in relationship with the poor. They change who we are because to Jesus, they're most important on every front. And Jesus comes to us through the poor. So serve the poor, be with them as the Lord reminds us in the Proverbs. So if you have a strong desire, by the way, to make money, may it not be to find happiness through stuff, because stuff is fluff. It will not satisfy that longing. Only God's wisdom will. 4th, pray. You expect this one. Pray for wisdom. Talk to God. Solomon is known as the wisest man in the world. Can I tell you? He was not born the wisest man in the world. We think God just gave him all this wisdom. No, he asked for it. As he got to be an older guy, he asked God for wisdom. And this is what God says to him. Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but because you have asked yourself for understanding to discern, for wisdom, for what is right, behold, now I do according to your word. Isn't that great? We can all ask God, and he will grant that. He wants to lavish us with wisdom. James put it this way in 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. It's the wisdom that leads to true happiness, friends, is not natural. It's supernatural. It comes from God. And when you're making little or big decisions, talk to God. Yes, talk to other people, but talk to God. Ask God for wisdom in the little and the big things ahead. 5th, this one may surprise you. Think frequently about your death. Now at 18, who thinks about dying? At 18, you're thinking about everything that is ahead. But I want to encourage you to think about death, or to put it another way, think of the shortness of this life and the infinite length of the next life. As Psalm 90:12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may get the heart of wisdom. Now, that is to say, help us to realize the brevity of life so that we can maximize our life. And I call that out for graduating folks today because the reality is at 18 years of age, it feels like life is moving slow. You just can't get where you want to be fast enough. But once you become my age, 32, you will find that life is going by rapid fire and you can't even hold the tail of time. It just goes by so fast. Am I right in that for everybody that's 32 or older? Stephen Jobs really said it beautifully. Actually, Psalm 90:12 says, teach us to number our days that we may get that heart of wisdom. Stephen Jobs was not a God-fearing man, as far as I know, but he really articulated it well. CEO of Apple Computers and obviously Pixar Animation Studios. He died in 2011. He had a long battle with cancer. But one of the things that he left behind is a commencement address he gave to the students of Stanford University. Packed with wisdom. This is what it says. Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you are going to die is the best way to know how to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart. I love this. He's saying that life is short. Don't waste your life on everybody else's dreams. Discover who God made you to be and stop being so afraid of failure. The way you discover yourself is to to make mistakes and to fall flat on your face, but then to get up again. As Winston Churchill said, success is never final. Failure is never fatal. It's courage that matters most. Your success yesterday does not mean you're going to be successful tomorrow. Your failure today feels like it's fatal. It's not fatal. Have courage. Get back up. Lean into who God made you to be. You will discover the fullness of life in the midst of all of that. And I get it. No one wants to die. No one wants to think about their death. And even people who want to go to heaven don't want to die first to get there. We just want to go there, be there, right? But we share this common destination. It's good to think about death because it awakens you to how much your life counts today and the difference you can make. There's one last absolutely essential thing that you need to get wisdom, and that is to come to Jesus. It's the most important. And the next year, there are going to be all kinds of voices speaking to you about who you are and what you could do with your life. And it's an odd thing to me, I'm going to be honest, it's an odd thing to me that the voice of Jesus seems to get diminished in this life cycle. And the voices of others and things tends to get elevated. Sometime to the degree that it takes many years, maybe decades, for people to come back to the voice of God. Be mindful that the voice of Jesus Christ is the most important voice. He told the people of his day, Jesus did in Matthew 12, these words, "The queen of the south will arise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." That Solomon spoke God's wisdom. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Others speak about truth, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is. Believe me, he is. And when people want to throw a wet blanket on Jesus, just being a good teacher, no, he is filled with truth. And he offers what others have offered, forgiveness, but Jesus bought it by his death for you. And Colossians tells us, therefore, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want wisdom? Come to Jesus. You'll get knowledge and discernment about who you are, where to go, what to do, what to say, how to say it. I was 18 years of age. This class, every class is special to me when I came to Jesus Christ through the influence of a gal that I was dating, which is a very cool story. I respect her. I didn't marry her. I married her roommate in college, which is another story that we won't unpack now, but it was a God story. And that family influenced me to Jesus Christ. And if you've been here any length of time, you've heard me use the analogy of take the hand off the steering wheel of your life. That came to me at 18 years of age when I was confidently moving forward with my life, intending to go to Colorado State University, had visions and dreams for my life when I came to understand what it meant to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And to be a Christ follower means you take the hand off the steering wheel in your life that I was holding at that time and yield. Slide over to the passenger seat, let the Lord Jesus Christ take the wheel and follow his path. Oh man, every good gift comes by following Jesus Christ. The writer of the Proverbs said it so simply, so clearly, get wisdom. Say those words with me. Get wisdom, Proverbs 4:5. Which means first and foremost, come to Jesus Christ, to whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom. So class of 2017 and Westwood Community Church, be happy, get wisdom, and the happiness that will satisfy the longing of your soul will be with you all of your days. I'm going to invite a special blessing for our graduating class from our pastor of student ministries, as well as a parent, a sibling, a small group leader, and a former student to come to the platform and extend this blessing to you. But join me in prayer as we do. Father God, thank you for the good gift of life revealed through your son, Jesus Christ, through the word. We're grateful. And I'm mindful, especially of parents today who will be releasing a child from their home into the future of what is so uncertain and yet not uncertain to you. There's a lot of emotions that come with that, a home that will forever be changed because of it, and yet you are in the midst of it all. So might they release with confidence, humility, and the joy of what's ahead for their children. And I pray for these students, I pray for wisdom, that they would want it and open up your word to read it, meditate, and reflect on it. That they would serve the poor and enter into dynamic relationship with them. That they would pray and understand the shortness of life and the infinite length of the life that is still ahead. And most of all, I pray that they would come to Jesus, not just once, but every day, asking in his name.
Blessings on you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
God bless you with a heart satisfied with what you already have, content to give up rather than to get more, and zealous for the Christ and his kingdom.
Wherever life takes you, may you always see the beauty and majesty of the living Savior.
May you look forward and not backward, always surprised with the grace God grants you.
God has given you incredible gifts. May you always look for opportunity to use them for his glory.
Your parents have sacrificed more than you will ever know. We pray a blessing on your parents as they lovingly watch your next steps.
God is always present. He is with you as you walk into the unknown. May you trust in that and trust in him.
May God bless you to be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the Master, and prepared to do any good work.
You have been there for me to show me how to walk through life in easy and tough times. May God continue to make you an example to others.
We pray you will go on to live lives that spread everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of God.
You will make mistakes, but with Christ's help, we pray you will admit them, correct them, and press on in him.
May you study God's word as you seek your path in this life and beyond.
I ask Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally, your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is he's calling you to do.
Give thanks to the Lord because he is good. His love continues forever.
Always remember, the Lord has good plans for you. He will give you hope and plans for the future.
God bless you as you run the race that is set before you. Never give up. He is always by your side.
Be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Forgive as God has forgiven you.
In the din of all the voices seeking for your attention, always remember to listen to his small voice.
I pray God will bring to your mind that you are here by God's appointment, in his keeping, under his training, for his time.
We pray God's blessings on your future, your classes, jobs, relationships, and choices. May they honor God.
And as you step out into your future, may God remind you that this is a place you can always call home. You are loved, cared for, and we will always be your community.
God bless you as you open your arms to the needy and extend your hands to the poor.
I pray you will not only look at Jesus, but really see him every day.
I pray you will let God hold your worries and pounding hearts in his gentle hands.
May you always understand that God is a God of dreamers. He is now giving dreams to your generation. Dream big. Let your hopes run high, and may your thoughts, words, dreams, and actions come from him.
Remember, God is love.
I pray that God of every age will make you the very best days. Begin today.
We entrust you to the God of all tomorrows. Let the failures and the sorrows of the past be left behind. Step into your future with hope and promise. Your future is bright. His promises are good. Your best days are ahead. The best is yet to come in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Blessings.
Amen.
Again, congratulations to the graduating class, and they stood earlier in the service, so for the church called Westwood, wherever they stood, there might be in your vicinity just before they leave. Love on them, would you? Wish them well and God's best. And for everyone, as we go through these doors, can I encourage you? Get wisdom, and with that wisdom will come the happiness that is the longing of your soul. God's peace to you. Enjoy the day.